Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 12.
This is Andy Daly.
Hello. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Here we go, Brian. Just levels. I'm starting with a yee-haw like always. Here it comes. Yee-haw! Whoa! That's right. One bullet now.
Yeah, and one goes out to Dakota Lansing, oddly enough, from Tustin, California. Can you believe that?
Dakota Lansing from Tustin, California. That bullet had your name on it. I hope it hit you. Well, folks, this is it. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. I said the intro right up front this time. No fooling around. This is welcome to Bananas for Bonanza, where we talk about Bonanza, the short-lived Western TV show from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. And we talk about it episode by episode, and we expressly do not talk on this show about monsters like vampires and mummies and werewolves and Frankensteins. We don't talk about them, even though those monsters are a great threat to all that we as humans hold dear. We just don't touch on them at all. Never do. Well, folks, in today's episode of this show, we're going to discuss Season 1, Episode 12 of Bonanza. That's called The Hanging Posse. It's fan-goddamn-tastic. This episode is real good. And if you are capable of liking anything, you will like this episode. That's my opinion. And we have wonderful guests, as always. We're going to meet our guests in a moment. But first, as always, like to say hello to our usual co-host. We've got country music superstar Mutt Taylor.
Hey, I'm just hanging out here in a shipping container. And I finally went and rummaged around some of the old boxes in here and a bunch of old fireworks. So I know it's not 4th of July and whatnot, but if you want to come by my shipping container, I am selling some expired fireworks.
All right, expired fireworks for sale out of a shipping container, and you're up around about Lake Tahoe, isn't that right now, Mutt?
Yeah, just go up to the lake, you'll see me there. Look for just, the Roman candles and whatnot.
Okay, just anywhere along the lake.
I have like, you know how Kennedy has an eternal flame at his grave? I've got an eternal Catherine wheel just blazing at all times, so especially around dusk or nighttime, you won't have any trouble finding it.
Oh, it'd be real easy to find you. Yeah, yeah. How do they do that eternal flame over there? That's wild.
I think it's God. I don't know.
Yeah, they asked. They said God. God, you
it's
took
God.
Him from us.
Yeah,
it's God.
Well, Amy, you'd know.
Yeah. Which I'm so glad that you're advertising a little bit, because I mean, I'm more like proselytizing. I have a new product line called the Blood of Christ Wine Club, small batch communion wine.
Wow.
You just get a sip full, and it's all from areas of the world that are dangerous to Christians. So we have a North Korean Shiraz, an Eritrean Chardonnay, an Israeli Malbec, an Uzbeki Chianti, a Nepalese Pinot Grigio. But they're so small.
Do those come in little bottles or what? Like a
It comes in a tiny bottle that you get on, like on an airplane, but it's Christ's blood. So you don't drink it like you're on an airplane.
Now, in my mind, I'd pour that little bottle into just like a little thimble and drink it out of there like a cup.
Oh, that's a good idea. It's a you pretend it's a full size bottle of wine, and then you have like a 2-scale wine cup.
Yeah, and that I'm a giant in the name of the Lord.
Hey, that sounds like fun. Pretend to be a giant. Whatever. Yeah, let me say first, that's Amy Sleverson. We just heard, I didn't say your name. That's Amy Sleverson, Christian entrepreneur, as you already figured out, and a Bonanza super fan. Now, what'd you say this was called? The Blood of Christ Wine Club?
Wine of the Month Club. So every month for $199 for a year, you set up, and we send you a little bottle of wine, which you can take communion. Most people who are like me, you start your own church because I just want to paraphrase the main sections of the Bible, you know, to kind of put it in real, you know, regular terms.
Yeah,
you know?
Good idea.
Which, yeah.
So I rewrote the Bible recently too, but it's not ready for publishing.
You rewrote the Bible in like a more easy to understand language. Is that what you did?
Yeah. And kind of like, you know, like, oh, this is what they meant. And when I say they, I mean God and Jesus.
Yeah. Together. Those two co-wrote it, I believe, along with King James. Wasn't it God, Jesus, and King James worked on it all together? They was just mailing each other copies.
That's right.
Drafts.
It was back and forth and back and forth forever. Yeah. And that's what it happens when you're, when you're working on a project with somebody. Good thing it's just me on this one. So, you know, I take my own notes.
All right. Now, and these wines, do you say the grapes are from places where Christians are endangered?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I like that idea.
So, a Laotian, Malbec, we have just all sorts of things that, you know, a lot of places people are persecuted.
Yeah.
We have an Indian Cabernet Sauvignon because people don't like Christians in India.
Oh, is it harder to get the grapes that way?
To get the grapes grown. And then once they find out you're Christian, that's why the bottles are so small.
Yeah. And that explains, did you say it was $199 a month?
I think she did.
For one year?
$199.
So you have...
Because $100 of that is shipping. Oh. It's international shipping.
Sure.
So let me get this straight. It's $199 per month, and you have to do it for a year.
Yes.
So okay.
We're talking $2,400 you're in for the year. But now that sounds about right to me if these are kind of conflict grapes, which is what I'm reading.
Yeah, danger grapes.
Yeah, danger grapes.
Now, a lot of city slickers would pay that for one goddamn bottle of wine, $2,400.
And it's blood. That's the other thing.
It's
also blood, so it can be used as blood.
You can treat it like a wine, or you can treat it like blood.
Yes.
Will you ever do a kind of a bread or wafer of the month club so I could just do the whole sacrament in one fell swoop?
I'm working on it. Okay. The thing is, I'm not very good with baking, and I just haven't been able to get anything. You know, I thought, well, maybe I could just resell, you know, stuff that I buy on coupons, but I all of a sudden, I'm in the weeds. I'm in the weeds.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to.
It's all right. Yeah, Amy's got a million different products going on. Every time we talk to her, she's launching something new. It's unbelievable.
Impressive.
Very busy. All right, so get off her back. God damn it. All right. Hey. I think it's time we meet our guests. I couldn't be more excited about our guest here. And her name is Rebecca Delgado Smith. Rebecca, hello.
Hi.
You're the next guest on Bananas for Bonanza. How you doing, Rebecca?
I'm really good. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. You're a host of a podcast yourself, aren't you? You got a podcast. Is that right?
That's right. It's called The Alarmist.
Okay.
We kind of take history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame.
Oh, I see. So you're looking for, are you trying to assign blame to like one person per tragedy? Is that your idea?
Well, it can be a person. It can also be a concept. You know, we have sent the patriarchy to the alarmist jail a few times, but it's a sneaky little bastard. It does tend to sneak out. Yeah.
They ain't built a jail yet that can hold the patriarchy, damn it.
No, we're working on it. We got to get some better funding.
Good luck.
You ever done a tombstone shootout or anything like that?
I've never done a Western, but we did do the Donner Party. And that, you know,
You just blamed hunger?
Yeah, who's to blame for the Donner? Now, the Donner Party was a couple of perfectly nice fellas who was trying to get their way across the country, ran into a bit of weather, and they had to resort to eating one another.
It was two Donners, a director and a reindeer, I think.
Oh, you had Richard Donner and Donner the reindeer?
Yeah, that's the part.
Okay. That may be.
Blame a lack of faith.
Yeah.
It could, yeah.
But everybody, it's like if you believed... Mm-hmm. You could make it.
You could pray your stomach full.
Yeah, oh sure. I've heard of that a lot. Well, how'd you come down on your podcast there, Rebecca, on the Donner Party?
Well, I'm going to have to check my notes. Uh-huh. It's been a while since we did that one. But I know that one of the guys who made the maps for that sent the Donner Party on their way they gave them the wrong route. It was new up and coming route. Yeah.
This map maker
was kind of a scam artist.
Oh, man.
Well, that's part of the story. Done that to me before too. I wish I could.
What'd you say there, Mutt?
Google Maps has done that to me before. How do you think I ended up here in this clearing selling fucking fireworks?
Yeah. But you haven't had to resort to eating anybody yet up there, have you? Withdrawn.
I'll just say no.
Okay, question withdrawn. Yeah.
Let's just put it this way. I ain't at no one that didn't have it coming.
Here. Right. Okay, that's fine. All right, well, that sounds real good. Now, so, Rebecca, did you have a chance to watch this episode of Bonanza, the Hanging Posse that we're going to talk about today?
I did. It was a very intense episode.
Yeah. It sure was. I'm very curious.
I've never seen Bonanza, but this episode was quite the introduction.
We've been hearing that from a fair number of the guests on this show, that they've never seen Bonanza before. And I'm starting to get less surprised by it, but I'm no less shocked.
Yeah, haven't even seen two-fourths of Bonanza because two of the main Bonanzas weren't even in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep, this is one of those episodes where the story simply could not accommodate the four members of the regular cast. It happens quite often.
Well, there was the brother, the chubbier brother, right? Who got fat shamed.
He was in the beginning.
He died in a drowning that won't be explained until they bring Bonanza back as a movie.
Right. Yeah, I guess. But no, they was all four of them. They was in one scene that had a completely different tone from the whole rest of the episode. It was a comedic scene.
Yeah. Candy! He loves candy.
Yeah, the fat guy just can't get enough candy. And he's begging his brothers for money for candy. I mean, it was a good scene. Don't get me wrong. I liked it. But we have a theory going that sometimes these episodes of Bonanza was written as like pilot episodes or even movie scripts for a different cast, and they just kind of said, well, what do we have to do to make it work for Bonanza?
Nothing.
Nothing. Change the names of a couple of characters. Yep, that could have happened here.
Yeah, I get the sense.
This is such a masculine episode. There's so many men and men's relationships, and it's really excited me about putting out a men's product line for men.
Oh, like what?
Yeah. Men's product line for men. Nobody's done that yet. What would it be?
Things like, you know, just like a set of like a basket, gift basket you can get for men filled with one, like a little bottle of poison and a water bottle for conditions and baptizing, and then the suck a pebble diuretic. Water weight.
That's right. Well, we'll get to him. There's a fellow in this episode. He's got some kind of condition that makes him thirsty all the time, and one of them tells him he should suck a pebble. Bad advice. Hey, but you know what? I was going to ask you when Rebecca was talking about her podcast is about great tragedies. We haven't checked in with you in a bit about your tragedy charms.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Rebecca, but one of Amy Slaverson's product lines, she'll sell you a charm bracelet with little charms on it to help you remember some of the various tragedies and traumas of your life.
You guys should hook up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm your clientele, Amy. Oh. I'm a big fan of that charm line. I have heard about it.
Yeah.
I've got a wonderful, just because sometimes people ask so many questions about, you know, say, oh, that's a barbecue grill. What happened? You know, it's like sometimes you don't even have the energy to explain. So right now I'm doing just purely signature items that say exactly what happened. They're longer terms that you can also wear as a necklace. For example, I have this one and it's called red flags, and it's the warning signs of if your spouse is a domestic abuser. But so anyways, it's like 9 or 10, you know, different gold. I mean, if it's coated 18 karat gold, inscripted with extreme jealousy, verbal abuse, cruelty to animals, a bad temper, antiquated beliefs about the roles of women and men in relationships. And then I have a t-shirt to go to it so your husband can wear it and then and say, that's me.
That's great. I love those couples t-shirts, you know, where it's like, you know, like you'll have, I asked her, and then the other one will say, I said yes, or whatever.
I was stupid
or something. So this would be a funny one where it's like he's got the list of all the signs of a domestic abuser and you got a shirt that says, you know, that's him or whatever.
I stayed.
There it is. I read his shirt and I stayed anyway.
I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah, there you go.
My arm in a sling. I stayed.
Oh, it's like, does the shirt have it like one of those tuxedo shirts? So you don't really have your arm in a sling, but the shirt makes it look like you got your arm in a sling.
That is so good.
Boy,
yes,
oh boy.
I'm putting that directly on my next order through Cafe Press that goes to China because everything on my site, I sell everything in America.
Okay.
I sell every product in the U.S. of A.
Right. So you can't say necessarily made. And then, hang on now.
But it is so.
There's a dog here. Quiet down, dog.
Does he sense a vampire or some shit?
Yeah, I've got him trained to attack vampires, and he just is pretty much anybody that comes by the house gets teeth sunk into him. So I guess there's a lot of vampires. But anyways, you're talking about what did the dog interrupt? Oh yeah, you can't say that your products are made in the USA.
No.
But you stamp them.
Anything anymore? Why would we? You know, because we're busy.
Yep.
We've got so many other things going on. Let other people, and then we sell.
Yeah.
As I said before, I'm a commissionary, and I just, you know, try to bring product lines to family and people who are believers.
Yeah. And every one of your products is stamped and certified, sold in the USA.
Sold in the USA.
You can even say conceived in the USA or like immaculately conceived in the USA too.
Beautiful.
Thought of for profit in the US. Thought for profit by a prophet.
Hot damn. Hot damn.
I like
man, I'm trying to think of. Trying to think of some other some great tragedies to ask you who was to blame. I like your suggestion of Tombstone because that was a thorny situation there, Rebecca. Let's run through it. You had Wyatt Earp was the sheriff of Tombstone,
and Dr. these fellas, Holiday.
You know, along with Doc Holliday there and Sam Elliott, and he says we are having no guns allowed in Tombstone, and these gangsters says that no, we need to keep our guns, right? Wasn't that what the problem was?
Well, kind of, and it's not too far off from the law and order of this episode of Bonanza either.
Oh, man.
Where it's what's right and what's legal.
Yeah, and then
we
so there's
figure
a
shootout. Who's to blame for this episode for sure?
Oh, I love it.
All right, well, we will do that, and meanwhile, maybe we'll look up what exactly happened up there in Tombstone. But it got ugly. All right, so look, should we? I don't want to take a break. First, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Because here's what I, as you know, what I like to do is I like to tool around on the internet and find out information about the people that was involved in making this episode. So maybe I'll share some of that stuff before we get into the episode itself. Because man, oh man, I think I hit pay dirt on some of this background stuff. Number one,
wow.
This episode was written by a fellow by the name of Cary Wilbur, who wrote a whole bunch of stuff, some of it good and some of it bad. But one thing he wrote was an episode of Star Trek called Space Seed. And that's a... Yeah, that's
a
famous
one. Oh, I know the one. That's a famous Khan, the origin of Khan.
That's got Ricardo Montalban in there as Khan.
Wow.
He wrote that. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Now, and then, but this is probably the best thing that I learned. Fellow by the name of Oslo Stevens plays Flint Johnson in this episode. This is the bereaved widower.
Mm.
He was in a movie in 1941 called The Monster and the Girl. And here's how this movie is described. It says, after a young woman is coerced into prostitution and her brother framed for murder by an organized crime syndicate, retribution in the form of an ape visits the mobsters.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. But there was right next to that description, a little thing that said, see more. And I clicked on that and I'm glad I did. Because here's
I'm just going to cut and paste this into the New Testament.
Oh, yeah, put it right in there.
I'm glad there's more because that I have some questions. But
well, this might answer some of your questions and it's bound to raise others. But this says here, okay, longer description. Scott Webster tries to save his sister Susan from the clutches of gangster W.S. Brule. When Scott comes to Brule's rented room, one of the gangster's henchmen collapses into his hands, killed by a gunman. The murderer tosses his gun to Scott and disappears. Since all the evidence points at him, Scott is arrested, tried, and sentenced to death. A mad scientist uses his brain to transplant it into a gorilla. After the operation, Scott wakes up in the body of a gorilla. Eager to get his revenge.
Wow.
What a movie.
What's it called?
The Monster and the Girl.
And he plays the lead, Flint? Our man Flint?
No, he's actually, I'm not quite clear on what his role is in the movie. Yeah,
our man Flint. That's another good movie.
Oslo Stevens plays somebody named J. Walter McMaster or something like that. I don't know what he does in the movie.
Wow.
But, that sounds just fantastic. Wow. Imagine seeing that movie, having no idea what it's about, and all of a sudden, this guy, it just seems like a mobster movie, and then suddenly a man, his brain goes into the body of an ape, and he seeks revenge. It's just an ape rampage on the mob.
Well, Donald, this opens up a whole new can of worms for you, because you got a certain amount of finite monsters, but now suddenly you go to the zoo, and you're looking in the gorilla cage, and there's another batch of monsters you got to take care of.
Exactly. Monsters with brain, gorillas with brains of men. But before, now you say that. Now, listen to another movie that Oslo Stevens was in 1950. This is a movie called Mark of the Gorilla. And here's her description of what this movie's about. This one says, Nazis dressed to look like great apes are looking for gold and Jungle Jim must stop them.
I'm in.
So
this feels like he's getting typecast. Am I looking too much into it?
I think
you're right. Or he's really, really found his niche.
Yeah. So this is Nazis dress up like apes to go to the jungle and hunt for gold. Isn't that right? So now I'm thinking to myself, how many of the gorillas in the jungle that we just think of as regular gorillas who sitting around grooming each other and ooping and eeping is actually Nazis? And how many of the gorillas in our own goddamn zoos is Nazis?
Right, because didn't a bunch of Nazis go on over to South America after the war, and they're probably just living in the jungles as apes?
Yep. That's what I'm afeard of.
Planet of the apes.
I find that so inspiring because when, you know, now that I'm rereading the Bible, you just think, oh, can I put a little bit of myself in there?
Sure.
Can I put a little bit of what my favorite things are?
Why not?
So I'm just going to, you know, maybe put some product placement inside of the Bible, you know, for, mm-mm, you know, oh, there's a flood, and then it will have like a little website link to rainware or whatever it is I'm telling.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
believe I've ever seen those like hyperlinks in a printed book, but
you're
will
always,
it work?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know how tech works sometimes.
That's true. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it tech.
I mean, if gorillas have new brains and they're from Germany.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could eventually have something planted in the tip of our finger where if we touch it, then it pops up in our brain.
Oh, wow.
And then we can buy your product.
Yeah.
Hmm.
By double tapping.
Anything you touch pops up in your brain.
Double tap.
I just go around touching a guy named Eddie Bauer. I'm going to get just a sweater is just going to show up in my head.
Man,
and eventually it'll show up on your doorstep if you have the correct mailing address inputted.
Wow. I did not eat a fella named Eddie Bauer, just in case you're wondering.
I hope you didn't eat all of them because it sounds like he's about to be the goose that laid the golden egg. If you keep him in your basement, touch him every once in a while, you get all this Eddie Bauer.
There's some of the ice packs for
later. I've eaten Jesus 100 times over.
Damn, yeah.
From head to toe.
What's he taste like anyway?
Oh, he has a grainy, like it kind of sticks through your mouth if you don't get the blood in there real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like a peanut butter?
Yeah, well, it's you want to floss. Let's just say that.
That's good practical advice. After you eat Jesus, please floss your teeth.
Yeah, he's a sinewy son of a bitch. I bet he is.
I'll see. All right. Well, I can tell you, too, that Onslow Stevens was in a movie called House of Dracula, in which the Wolfman and Count Dracula beg Dr. Edelman to cure them of their killing instincts. But Dracula schemes to seduce the doctor's nurse.
What is this metatextual genre of classic monster films that I have to this day never been aware of?
What, where monsters are trying not to kill?
Well, I mean, just also cross genre of monsters and Nazis, and also yes, self-aware monsters who want to better themselves. It sounds like a allegory for the Red Scare if I understood socio-political climates, which I do not, so I will not comment on it.
It's ethical fan fiction. I'm doing a mix with the Bible, and I'm also doing the Quran, and then I'm doing the Torah, and just kind of mixing it up what I like in it, and then you share it with friends online.
Oh, Amy, I've been meaning to ask you. You ever think about doing the Bible as a young adult series of novels? Because those are so big right now.
Yes, yes,
Amy, that's a good idea.
Yeah, they like
it's all about how to prevent yourself from being raped by the spirit. Because you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're having a nice time at a party, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm pregnant.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's young scary. People. Go. What was you going to say, Rebecca?
Well, I was just going to tell Amy, because she might be interested in this, that we actually did an episode where we tried to figure out who's to blame for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Holy crap.
Who is it?
Nazis?
Well, Nazis, no, they didn't go up on the board. They escaped this one. But Pontius Pilate.
You put it down to Pontius Pilate, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The Romans.
He could have prevented it.
Pontius Pilate seemed to be, he was out on holiday a lot during this time.
Is that right?
Oh, that's right.
Convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he was kind of like making his orders from his holiday home. And in all fairness, Jesus, and I don't want to upset you, Amy, but he did kind of come in to Jerusalem like a little... he was a bit pompous. Like,
he came
he
in
knew
hot.
What he was doing.
Cock
he came in
walk.
Really
just
hot.
Like,
he came on a donkey.
Whoa.
Just like the Cartwrights on the Ponderosa.
Right.
They come in and they ride hard and they put him away wet.
Yeah.
And
Christ sure came in on his chub, rode it hard, and put it away wet.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was my fault, the crucifixion.
Oh, really?
But now that really... That's a load off my back, huh?
Yeah, no.
They do go around saying that Jesus died for your sins, and that does feel like it's putting it a bit in my camp. Now I come to find out it's some pilot.
Yeah, it is. You shouldn't really carry that burden on your shoulders, Amy and Mutt. It's not on you. I think it's more on Pontius.
Oh, all right, like, but also, yeah, go ahead.
I feel like I've been released from two pillow pets that have been laying on my shoulder for years.
That doesn't sound like such a big burden, although I guess for years it would get to you. Yeah, all right. But don't get cocky. That's all I want to say. Be unburdened, but not cocky, because you're saying that still
straight
kill
to Jesus.
Jesus.
You're saying Jesus, don't
no,
get
I'm cocky. No, I'm saying that straight to Amy Sleverson. Like,
oh, okay.
She's just been let off the hook for killing Jesus. And I want to say, okay, enjoy that, but don't get cocky, because your sins could still kill Jesus again and again, right?
Right.
Yeah, they could. They definitely could. Don't buy a donkey and ride around town in it. calls too much attention to
it
you.
It does. Yeah, whatever the implication of it is, it's probably not what you intend it to be.
Mm-mm. Yeah, watch yourself around Lake Tahoe. Don't sass and step.
I know. I think there's some ornery people up here, too, let me tell you.
Hell, man, I don't doubt it. All right, and do not work from your vacation home. Those are all the advice. All right, last couple of things about, and then we'll take a break. Last couple of things about Onslow Stevens. His first movie was called The Gay Diplomat, and he was murdered in a nursing home. All right, folks, we're going to take a little break and come back and tell you all about The Hanging Posse. Don't go nowhere.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, we're back. Welcome back. This is Bananas for Bonanza. We are here with Mutt Taylor, Amy Sleverson, and our guest, Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and we are talking about episode 12, season 1 of Bonanza, The Hanging Posse, and we're going to go through it. Scene at a time, we're going to tell you all about it. This is a fantastic episode. Man, it was good. It starts off right away with a woman in a log cabin by a lake, and three fellas ride up. They're looking for supplies. Now, these three fellas, we got a nice guy, a sick guy, and a psychopath. That's the trio.
First sighting of the mighty fine woman knife collection.
Oh, wait, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that one of your product lines, a Mighty Fine Woman knife collection?
Mighty Fine Woman. If you're a Mighty Fine Woman, you better be armed.
Oh, that's right. The psychopath, whose name is Blackie, he does, I believe, at some point remark that this is a mighty fine woman. And while the other two go dealing with the lake, he wanders into her cabin where she expressly said, "Do not follow me into my cabin. I'll make you food.
Can I just say, when I laid eyes on this woman, I said, finally. Finally, dear God, we have a woman character that is going to be sustained, three-dimensional, carried throughout the episode, and possibly the entire 430 episodes of Bonanza, and I was certain of that.
That's right. And she was a woman of substance. She's a sort of an older actress, too. And she's, you know, she's out there all by herself in this log cabin, laying down the law to these three reprobates.
Yeah.
I mean, as a first time Bonanza viewer, I was very impressed. I was like, oh, first shot is an older woman who's kind of standing. Yeah. She seems so strong.
Yeah.
And I was like, this show must have been ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But that was short lived. Yeah. And imagine my surprise when I realized those three guys weren't the main characters.
Oh, right. That frequently happens with this show. The main characters show up later after you've already become attached to others. But I got to say, look, all right, let's just tell people what happens. Blackie goes inside. He's got rape on his mind. And then she picks up a knife, but she doesn't really make any attempt to use it, as far as I can tell. And then we cut out of there, and then we hear a gunshot, and Blackie runs out of there and goes, she's dead, I killed her. And we're not sure what happened. And that sounds bad.
You talking about her dying is not a spoiler. It's more concern that you might have missed the first 20 seconds and need to know what's happening.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. But you know what? Given normally what the women on this show have to endure, she was pretty lucky to get out of the episode so quick.
Yeah, I think.
You know.
Yeah.
Well,
usually they die of an illness or are whores.
Yeah,
that's right. She didn't have to be a whore or a sick person. She just, you know,
on the other hand, we don't know because we learned nothing about her. She could have been both.
But her kindness kind of got her in trouble, I would say, because she did offer to help these guys. And I don't know if some... three guys who are literally one of the first lines is that they're a runaway. They can't stop by the town because they're not wanted there. So she knows the kind of guy these guys are. And I would not say, you know, hold on a sec. Let me get you some pie. I would say, get out of here. Don't get out of my lawn property.
Her husband, we don't know what her husband like, or we find out later that he's also got a bad temper and he's unpredictable, which are also signs you're in a domestic violence relationship.
Oh, yeah, I'd say. She had it coming and going.
Man, oh, man. Tough life out there on the range. Well, okay, so now we cut to the opening credits, and this is the 12th episode of Bonanza to feature the burning map in the opening credits. This is, interestingly enough. And then we cut to that comic scene where now we're in Virginia City, and it's the only scene where we see all four members of the Cartwright family. We got Ben, and we got Haas, and Adam, and Joe. And Haas is just, he's just got his mind fixed on having some of that sweetening in there. They're at a store that's got some sweets. He ends up begging money from his brother, and he buys some jelly beans and some Red Hots, which were invented in 1932, and some and some molasses. And then Pa is hassling Joe about getting a haircut. He says, I don't want any son of mine looking like a cheap riverboat gambler, which I guess that would have been the 1860s version of a hippie.
Yeah, code for hippie for sure.
Yep.
And something that really struck me about that scene was the way that the Candyman, I guess that's what you call him, the store owner, the Candyman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Candyman.
When he asked for the jelly beans, he just... reached in with his bare hands.
Yeah.
No glove, no scoop. He just grabbed the jelly beans.
Yeah.
I guess this is 1860 before, I don't know, the codes. He didn't have a letter A outside for sure.
No, and I can tell you that back then, jelly beans, they thought as well were legumes that came out of a pod. And so, like, just like beans, they thought they're dirty from the earth. Doesn't matter.
I see. So they're going to cook them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta boil these.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the haunted boy of the window disappears for the rest of the show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The whole time that Haas is in there putting together his candy bag, there's a little boy looking through the window like, oh, how come that gigantically fat man is going to eat all that candy? What about me?
My favorite thought about this whole episode is that while Adam and Little Joe are going through some of the worst extreme trauma of their life, Hoss is just under a big oak tree eating candy the entire time, just having the time of his life.
So you think, but then after all that of putting together what he wants in his candy bag, he hands it over to the child. Did you catch that? Yeah. He just hands the bag over to the boy, and he says, because he doesn't want to, what did he say? I don't want to.
Because he got so fat shamed.
Yeah, he got fat, right? Yeah, you're right. His little brother, Little Joe, fat shamed him. And he says, I don't want to split my horse or something like that. I forget the verb he used.
Rebecca, last week, no joke, we had Hoss, the big fella's actual son, on this podcast. He was a nice guy.
Dirk Rocker was on the show.
Yeah, real cool. Yeah.
We never mentioned exciting. We never mentioned his weight.
No, that's a good point. No.
So are we not talking about him being chubby anymore?
No. No, Dirk's not here anymore. We're no.
Oh, okay. Plus, that's his whole character.
He's a big man. And also, just as simple as a child. Man, oh, man. So delightfully dumb. Well, then up comes a wagon with a dead woman in it. And it's the lady we just saw get killed by the lake. And her husband, Flint Johnson, is in there. And he says, three men did it. A prospector saw him leave. And they say Paiute Scroggs is going to be the tracker because now we got to track down those three guys. We got an idea where they're headed. We learn that the sheriff is out of town. And so the deputy, Jeb Clinton, who just comes right out and proclaims his incompetence. He more or less just says, hey, I ain't no good at this. And so he asks Adam and Joe to help with the posse so that when they find the three fellas, they don't kill them. That's what he says. He says, Adam and Joe, I trust you guys to come along on this posse so that we don't just end up killing the three guys who were seen leaving the site of the murder of Flint Johnson's wife.
Also, right? Where do you want to park the carriage with the dead woman? How about right in front of the candy store? Seems like there's a spot. Gotta take it. No street dirt sweeping today.
You're right. Man, if I'm the owner of that candy shop, I'm sitting there going, come on. Get that dead body out from in front of my candy shop.
This ain't good for business.
It's going to turn people off my candy.
The man is distraught. The husband is just distraught.
That's true.
Yeah, he's pissed.
He's out of his mind with grief.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Now, here's my question. You guys are pros. The deputy comes out of the bar, the saloon. Is that right?
I think you're right.
So he's just waiting. He's on call, but he's just drinking.
Mm. Oh, sure.
While he waits.
Oh, yeah.
And the Paiute, you say his name is?
Paiute Scroggs.
Scroggs.
He says something like, I got to wet my tongue or something.
I wrote that down.
I got to wet my dry off.
I think he said, are we leaving soon? And Paiute Scroggs says, soon as I wet my dry. That's what I wrote that down too.
Yeah.
I like
that
expression.
That's telling me I'm sober. I got to get drunk.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and Adam and Joe are concerned about Paiute Scroggs. They say, I think they call him a blowhard or something like that.
And he isn't a Paiute.
It doesn't seem like it.
Right. So, Rebecca, the Paiutes are I forget what we're supposed to call them, but they're Indians up there in the the Lake Tahoe area.
I don't have
it in front of me. But so
they're a rival family?
No. They're a tribe of, we get in trouble anytime we try to talk about, what do you call them?
Here's what I know.
Indigenous.
Indigenous, and then stop right there and don't say savages. That's what I've been told. And so when you hear Paiute Scroggs is coming, Paiute Scroggs, you figure, it's going to be one of them Paiutes, one of them Paiute Indians, but he is not. He's like a redhead, right?
Oh. It's an Irishman.
That's an Irishman.
Does he have teeth?
Oh, I didn't notice. Did he have teeth?
I thought he was a no teeth. I kept saying no teeth man.
Oh, well, I think that's safe to assume, probably.
Yeah, probably no teeth. Okay. That guy was in an episode of The Twilight Zone where he plays like a fisherman who comes back as a ghost or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, he's Paiute Scroggs. So now the posse heads out, and it's a bunch of guys. How many would you say? About 20 guys on horses, and they're all pretty excited to get out there and kill somebody. And except we meet these two fellas, Buck Timmons and Blue Buford, and they're two young boys, and they're on this posse, and they're nice fellas. They're the nicest guys we ever met on this show. In fact, yeah. I don't know how they survive in this world. They're just sweethearts. They are
just the two that you find out at the end were just along for the ride for some fun.
Yeah, and they're delighted to be making friends. They make friends with one another. They're like a couple of traveling Mormons. I mean, they're just absolutely, they're just delightful. Yeah. And but they are going along on this posse, and they get to a certain point where, and this gets weird. Now, Paiute Scroggs says, "Hey, let's go down to McSween's, this old roadhouse down there, and just take a big long break from chasing these birds."
Because when you take a break, things speed up.
Yeah.
Oh.
His theory is that the bad guys are going to ride hard because they know they're being pursued, and then their horses will crap out. And then meanwhile, these guys can all just, you know, spend 12 hours drinking and then come up on them having lost their horses or something like that. I don't know what his theory is, but it's in the service of getting drunk.
I mean, they just started. Didn't they just get started?
Yeah, they literally just set out. This is like at the beginning of a road trip if you say, let's have a long sit-down lunch. No, damn it. We just left.
Yeah. Let's get a motel in the town we're leaving from home.
Bad idea. Well, they pull into McSween's, and when they arrive, you ever been on a tour bus that pulls into a souvenir shop, and there's obviously like an arrangement between the tour bus driver and the souvenir shop owner? That's how this felt, because nobody's at McSween's, and this posse shows up, and Paiute Scroggs calls out, hey, McSween, where? And the whole guy, here come the whores, and it's like, oh boy, you brought us another posse.
You think that McSween's, and I'm with you on this, is basically in the posse business, and that's a backdoor racket to get him some money.
Yeah, that's what I think. Most of our business is traveling posses. And it's not a good idea for them to stop and drink for hours, but they do.
Yeah.
They were ready to go, those the prostitutes or, you know, sex workers is what we should call them.
I like that.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Yeah, I like that, too.
I have a new line of cards for men.
Oh,
cards that you can send to other men, like mothers is women too, killing is feels prime, good, and lazy.
I'm going to show the clip of that actually right now because I like those parts. No, that's good. And then people know what these cards is all about. Because now here at McSween, there's a little scene where the bad guys would catch up with the bad guys, and one of them says, They seem to know what the posse's doing, because one of them says, they got all liquored up, they're snake mean and ready for hanging. Mm-hmm. So they got an idea what's going on. And they decide to take a break, and so they're out thinking the posse. But anyways, here's the posse sitting around at McSween's, and we get to hear from Paiute Scroggs about what it's like to kill a man. And then we get to hear a speech from she's probably the madam. Oh, her name is McSween. And this was a lady who would go on to play the mother of a pig on Green Acres. And And she was
Arthur Arnold. What's the pig's name?
I don't know. But she was a dear friend also of Lucille Ball.
Oh, connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to share this on my screen. And here we go. This is a scene from McSween's. Dang it.
How does it feel to hang a man, Paiute?
Oh, it feels prime. You feel all greened out, good and lazy. You'll find out.
And we catch him three up ahead, huh, Paiute?
You tell him, young'un.
Hanging's too good for him. When I think of that poor Mrs. Johnson, like I always say, men ain't nothing but dirty brutes. Well, ain't they?
These are the two nice guys.
I guess so.
You boys got mothers, ain't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Where would a man be without his mother? That's what I want to know.
Pretty thick New York accent on that one.
I don't know, ma'am.
Mothers is the Lord's sweetest gift on this earth. That's why. And mothers is women, too.
Say it like you're discovering
it. Don't you forget it.
No, ma'am.
Mothers. You just remember that the next time you go around beating up on women.
Well, we ain't beat up on no women yet, ma'am.
Yeah.
Least, I ain't.
Yeah.
Me neither. Well, I wouldn't think of doing such a thing.
Ah, no. You are good boys, ain't you? I declare, I wouldn't mind being your mom myself.
Yes, ma'am.
They get real disturbed by that.
Wow. Wait, now that leaves me with a question. So all mothers is women, but is all women mothers?
Is all women. This is one of those, a rectangle is a square, but is a square a rectangle?
Yeah, yeah.
Hell, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I never was.
Women
no
is
good.
Mothers too. Women is mothers
women, all,
too.
What does he say? Mothers? No, she says mothers
is women too.
Mothers is women too.
And women's is mothers too. So if mothers is women's too, all women's must be mothers too. There, I figured it out.
Okay. This is one of those sometimes, always, never problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah.
So all women have children, no matter what.
I reckon that's right.
Okay.
I suppose, at least in these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I understand, my body works like an octopus, where I'm way back in a cave, and then the babies take all my life out of me, and hundreds of thousands of them come out, and maybe only one lives, and then I die being eaten by my children.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Wow. And that happens every time?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. An octopus cannot survive having babies, right?
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah,
a woman can't. And mothers is women too.
Yeah.
I tell you. Yeah.
It seems like she's like figuring out as she says the line, right?
Yeah.
It just came to her.
Well, that's a good actor, The Illusion of the First Time. I don't know anything about acting.
Well, now, don't you feel like Paiute is reaching for his lines in a lot of the scenes?
Yeah.
That you think he may not get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like that's hard to tell if he's just not rehearsed or is actually drunk or doesn't care.
At times you can almost see the script on a clipboard being held by somebody just out of frame. Sometimes you can, if you squint your eyes just right. Well, so that's a taste of the real nice guys who are there kind of like, hey, what's it like to kill a man? And he tells him, oh, boy, what does he tell you? You feel all calm. And
creamy.
Yeah, not the description I would have expected, having eaten a man. I mean, having not eaten a man. Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Well, then we cut outside and Adam and Joe is concerned and they talk about men. Sometimes it's a pretty sorry thing to be a man, says Joe. Real interesting introspection there from little Joe.
Yeah, Rebecca, did you expect this to be so philosophical?
No. It seemed like they were... Well, that one man who is not part of the group, who's the nice guy, he said he hadn't hit a woman yet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it felt to me like he was trying to learn. He was trying to decide, do I want to be one of the bad guys or do I want to be one of the good guys? And there just seems to be a lot of tension, like a emotional tension in this episode.
Oh, you're right.
Moral, yeah. Like... I just didn't know Bonanza was all about morals and figuring all of that out.
The Cartwrights are like the Corleones of morality.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. 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 Well, now, so the plan here for stopping into McSween's is to get the whole posse all liquored up so that they are excited to get out there and kill these sons of bitches. That's the plan that everybody's kind of signed on to except for Adam and little Joe. But I think it goes a bit awry because they're in there drinking till dawn. And when they stumble out of that place, they don't look like they're ready to do nothing. And then they get on their horses and it's hot as hell. It just seems like the plan backfired. These guys, by the time they get to the perpetrators, they're just going to be ready for a nap, I think.
But I tell you what, McSween's did a hell of a amount of business there.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's the real crime.
Dang. That's what happened when I visited Israel.
What happened? The
whole, we were bus tour and they stopped and we all had to buy stuff. And I says, we're on a spending plan. We don't have any more money for keychains.
Sometimes they'll say, you can't get back on the bus until you buy at least one damn souvenir. And then they check you.
You can't hang a fella in a posse until you buy at least a fifth of gin.
Yeah, we
had to stay in a small town outside Jerusalem just to stop for gas. And this one young man took us down a dirt road and he said he had something to show us. And he showed us some rocks on the ground that looked like a woman's butt with a man rutting it. And he charged us money.
What?
How much he charge you? And how did you get any pictures?
Well, whatever the paper money is there, we gave him a couple of those. And we didn't get pictures because I says, you seen that before, to my husband. And we just laughed. And he was wearing his new favorite T-shirt, which is he's the bad guy. It says, I'm the bad guy. And then my T-shirt says, circumstantial evidence.
Yeah. See that? You got some of them couples T-shirts. That's great. That's fun. You guys have a lot of fun. Well, sorry to hear that you got taken like that to look at those butt rocks. Well, now, back out there on the road, the bad guys would catch up with the bad guys again. And this is where we learn that Schuster, the old bad guy, he has got some kind of condition that makes him drink all the water he can find. He's just thirsty. And the nice guy in the bad guy group says he doesn't want to run anymore. And he kind of says, hey, wait a minute. He comes to this discovery, seems like several hours late. Hey, I'd ran away because of something I didn't even do. What'd I do that for? He says, I'm leaving. I'm going back the way we came. And but the Schuster, the thirsty man, for some reason, he decides to stay on with Blackie. I'm not sure why, but he decides that's what he's going to do, even though Blackie's will not give him any of his water.
It's called a true friend.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Loyalty. Right.
I should have figured that.
Thirsty man with a condition. This is a part that got me very agitated.
Oh, really? Why?
Yes, because he's so thirsty, and then he throws his canteen on the floor.
Yeah.
And in my mind, how do you expect to get more water later?
That's a good point. You know,
it's not like it's a one of these plastic water bottles that you can just throw out on the ground, right? Not that I would do that. But you can't. No.
I think the whole thing about a canteen is it's reusable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you teach a man to fish, if you give a man a canteen, I'm working on these Bible verses, Amy, just trying to impress you. I don't know.
Well, my gal friend, Jackie Keisha, she says, if you teach a man to fish, you've just destroyed your market base.
That's smart. She's a smart one. Yeah. Sell them that fish, dang it. Yeah. Give a man a fish. That's not an option. That's communism. No. Well, here, I want to show you another clip now. Share my screen. Every time I do this, I need to learn to do it anew. Share my screen. And now here we are at the campfire. And this time, now it's, again, the nice guys are talking to Paiute Scroggs. And now Paiute Scroggs gives sort of the other side of the equation, what it's like to not kill a man. Now, we already described how wonderful it is to kill a man. Here's what happens when you don't. Okay.
Don't you think we're going to catch him, Paiute?
Sure, we'll catch up with him. But what comes after it makes you sick at your stomach.
Well, what comes after, Paiute?
Oh, they turn him over to the deputy and take him back to Virginia City for trial. And you got to have a judge for trial. Circuit judge won't be around for 4 or 5 months. Man, won't them fellas have a time waiting for that trial. All them women coming in there bringing them pie and cake and white bread and all that stuff. All you fellas don't have but once a year, and maybe that's at Christmas. And them preachers, man, well, they shine.
Sounds like heaven waiting on trial to be hung.
Yeah. I could definitely get a clipboard feeling on this scene, too.
By the way, if anybody is kind of on the fence about celebrating Halloween, I do have a pumpkin carving kit that is just to place on your pumpkin, and it is inscript Moral Dilemma.
Oh, that's a good idea, because a lot of people don't hold with Halloween, what with all them witches and whatnot.
Evil.
It's a pagan ritual turned into a candy event.
Yeah, Dalton, I can't imagine you fare well during these times. I mean, you got to stress load.
I fare just fine, but there's lots of people don't come out of their interactions with me in the same shape they was in when they met me on Halloween. So if you come to me dressed up like a goddamn Frankenstein, ringing my doorbell asking me for food, don't be surprised what comes to you.
You'll thrust the sword of everlasting life into the heart of the necromancer.
Hear, hear. I have no choice. The amount of, but you know how sometimes on Halloween people stock up on Twixes and the Three Musketeers? I'm stocking up on steaks of wood. I keep about 50 of them in a bowl by the door.
God, that, I know we've talked about like what you do when you see a Freddy Krueger and all that, but what if you see a sexy Freddy Krueger? You still do the same thing? You take him down?
You do it 10 times faster.
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right, but I'm not supposed to talk about any of that stuff.
All right.
But just keep in mind, if you ring on my doorbell asking for food on Halloween night, it ain't going to go good. All right. Well, anyways, okay. So now, there's a funny little scene here where Billy Johnson, he is the son of the murdered woman, is just crying on his knapsack. He's just like, oh, it's funny. I don't know how to describe it. He's like a little boy crying away. Anyway, little Joe wakes up. I guess what's funny about it is that it doesn't sound like natural crying at all. It's just like, I don't know. It made me laugh. Maybe I do like listening to people cry. I do usually laugh at that. But anyways, little Joe comes along and he has a talk with him. And he once again offers his services for counseling. He did that in the last episode. Yeah. Sometimes it helps to talk it through. What is it now? Oh, yeah. Joe comes away from the conversation feeling like maybe we should just kill these bastards. And then
because
Adam,
it'd be prime, creamy, good and lazy.
Yeah.
He's getting into it.
He's getting into it.
He also has a lot of pancake makeup on in this scene.
Oh,
Joe.
Yeah.
He used to wear that out on the range for protection.
Oh, is that what it is? Because I'd love to see a side-by-side comparison of him in the first scene and him in this scene. Because that makeup artist is having a field day right now.
Well, what are you going to do when Landon comes up to you and says, hey, I don't look pretty enough. Make me look prettier. Yeah. No choice.
No one else is wearing that amount of pancake.
Well, no one else needs to look that pretty.
It might be actual Bisquick.
I love Bisquick.
It's delicious. So good. Right? So good. Hell yeah.
I wish it was quicker.
Yeah. And bissier. Well, now Adam gives a long speech about due process. Yawn, yawn, yawn. He wakes up to give a speech about due process. Put me to sleep. Well, now it's the morning and they're out there tracking the bad guys, and they've, for some reason, they all got to split up, and, so turns out that Flint Johnson and his son Billy are the ones to come upon the nice guy, bad guy, who is making his way back, and he turns himself in. He says, I'm sorry, don't shoot. I'm turning myself in. Here's my gun. And Flint Johnson murders him cold blood. Cold blood. And his son doesn't like it, but he says, well, okay, I'll back up your story. Then we have a little scene where Adam and Joe are trying to give this fella a decent burial, which nobody agrees with, but they're really working hard, just the two of them, to bury this poor guy. And everybody, and then there's a big dispute. This is a waste of time. Adam and Joe quit the posse. The posse takes off without him, but it turns out that was just a ruse. Adam still wants to find the bad guys. He wants to find them first. Joe knows where the nearest water is, Pinnell Creek or whatever. And the way to get there faster is through some lava country. But it's going to be rough on the horses, but they're going to do it anyway, right? That's all that happens there.
Yeah. It's a tiny house.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. We'll get there in a minute, because first we have a little scene with Blackie and Schuster, and Blackie is really enjoying his water. He's making a big show out of how much water he's got. He's got a gigantic canteen, too. They gave him like three times the size of a normal canteen. Just really enjoying his water, while Schuster is literally dying of thirst. And at some point he says to him, "You're mean. You're worse than a hydrophobic skunk." I think that's what he said. I don't know.
Hydrophobia.
Something. But then they head out. Now we get, oh, yeah. Okay. They find the old man. Oh, it's Pinnell Springs. The posse figures out where they're going to, and they decide to get there the same way through lava country. But the bad guys find Pinnell Springs, which is a brown and fetid pond. That no one ought to drink out of, but Schuster sees it like, hoo-hoo-hoo, water.
Pond is a kind term for what that was.
Yeah. That's sewage runoff. I've never seen anything. I got one of those running by my shipping container. I won't touch it.
They rode 10 miles to get to that. And as you say there, Amy Sleverson, they got a tiny house. There's a tiny house right next to the...
Tiny house.
Right next to the fetid water.
I'm going to open it. I told him what I said. I want a tiny house, and then I want to make a tiny church. Oh. And, you know, just have everything tiny.
That's where you could drink your tiny wine out of a little thimble.
Oh. Tiny wine, then you have a tiny, tiny prison system, and then a tiny everything.
I got a theory about that house, that they was just building the living room, and it took them about 3 days, but they'd been drinking that water, went, fuck this, let's bone out, and that's all that was left.
You know? We need to get to a doctor.
They died.
They died. Yeah, they probably died. That's a tiny grave.
Do we ever find out what this disease is, speaking of the water?
That Schuster has, that makes him just drink and drink and drink?
It's hydrophobia.
Hydrophobia. I almost Googled it, and then I said, nah. But yeah, I was curious. I had a moment of curiosity. What could Schuster's condition be that he cannot get enough water?
Because you Google
it was
going to
be educational.
Knows. Yeah, you don't want the government knowing what you're Googling. So you can't. Information's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll take a stab. Maybe kidney? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Right. He's got some.
I just picked an organ.
Yeah.
He every once in a while grips his stomach. You notice that? Schuster every once in a while. Ooh, my kidneys. Or whatever.
Maybe he's got one of them conditions where you always got to like, put things in your mouth and swallow things. So that's why he just wants an excuse to put a stone in his mouth or something.
Oh, yeah. Suck on a pebble. Yeah. Well, okay. Now,
never Google tiny doorway.
Did you just do that? Did you just Google tiny doorway? Man. All right. I guess I won't.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. There's not even one decent entry.
Oh, my God. I can see the reflection in your glasses. It looks like you've just got burned eye sockets.
More stone butts. Dang. I'm sorry to hear that, Amy. You should get one of them, or your husband should put some kind of a parental block on your computer.
Yeah.
Preventing you from saying things. Well, okay. Now, Schuster, he runs to that water like it's going to save his life, which I guess it is. But Adam fires a shot in the air. Oh, my God. The Cartwright boys have descended upon him. And he says, you know, and they retreat into the house. Now, you got Blackie and Schuster holed up in the tiny house. And Adam is saying, come on out. They have a real nice shootout there. This is the first time I think that we've heard the ricochet sound effect on this show. They really used a ping.
Yeah. Also, good. Adam and Little Joe were literally taking cover behind a branch.
Yeah.
And they would go so far as to pull their guns over it to shoot over it. It couldn't have been less cover. If anything, it was just ambiance. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, there was no getting low or anything. Just stand up tall behind this branch. Fire. Yep, but it worked for him.
Yep.
And then what happens there? Okay, now the posse rides down, and Adam says, nope, where I'm bringing these prisoners into jail. Oh, but first, oh, this happens, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Adam says to Schuster, all right, go out and drink some of that damn water if you want it so bad. And then the posse.
I've been shitting in there for days, but go ahead.
I don't think you're going to like it. And the posse is there, and they shoot Schuster dead before, and he has a moment of ultimate irony, just like, I didn't even get to drink any water. And then,
yeah,
bang, that's it, he's dead.
Yeah. He falls into the puddle.
He does.
It's just
I'm the ancient mariner. Water everywhere, not a drop to drink.
Yeah, because you're dead. Yep. Well, now
my husband doesn't put anything on the computer to block me because we watch Christian porn.
Oh,
so we
right.
got to have access to everything.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I know we talked about that last week, and they make spousal blocks for computers too, where the husband can block the wife.
Oh, they do?
It only goes one way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What's the other way?
He respects
me. No, you're right. I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, your husband respects you. Yeah, we know that, Amy. Yeah,
he wants me to see all of it.
Yeah.
He thinks I can handle it.
Wow.
All that Christian porn. He's a good man. Well, now there's a funny little scene here where Adam, I guess, has made clear he's bringing Blackie in for a proper trial. And Blackie starts laughing and ridiculing Adam and saying, oh, there's no witnesses. I'm going to get out of it. And I killed him. The other two guys didn't. He just confesses there on the spot. He's saying, really, if he had a lawyer, the lawyer would be scandalized. He's saying all the things that a suspect should not say while in custody.
In front of two witnesses.
Yeah. Now there's witnesses, you dummy. Yeah. He shouldn't have did any of that. But now, to be fair, Adam never read him his rights. Got to do that. But now, and little Joe is again, he's like, hey, why don't we kill him? He did just confess to the murder, but Adam won't do it. Now the posse comes down and there's a little parlay and there's a little, Adam gets conked on the head by Paiute Joe, right? And then the posse storms the cabin. Oh, yeah, and they catch the killer. They bring him out to a tree, and now Blackie is screaming, I don't want to die! I don't want to die!
Yeah, and this scene, yeah. I mean, it got intense for Bonanza, I have to say. And this is Mutt Taylor talking, nobody else. I was surprised at how kind of real this got.
Yeah, he was truly terrified. He went from, ha, 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 I'm going to get away with murder, to, I don't want to die!
Very guttural. Very good. I wonder if this was a scene he auditioned with.
It must have been.
Oh, yeah, the audition scene. Yeah. Well, they put a rope around his neck. They're about to string him up, and then little Joe fires a shot, and he says, I'll kill the first man who puts weight on that rope. And that's it. We're back to the standoff. The Blackie comes back into the house. And then it's just from there a process of one by one members of the posse saying, I'm bored and hungover. I'm going home.
Yeah, this isn't as fun as I thought it
would
be.
I'm riding out.
Yeah, that's what they say. I'm riding out.
I'm pulling out.
Yeah, that's what they say. Even Billy Johnson, to his own father, he says, man, I've had enough of killing. I've seen you now kill two innocent men, and I've had enough, and he leaves, and it's down to Flint Johnson and Blue and Buck, the two nice fellas. And Adam says to the two boys, he says, you see what this has brought? Two men dead, a friendship broken, talking about him and Flint, a father split from his son, and that's all those two nice boys need to hear. That's it. They're done, too. They leave on to probably get slaughtered. Because they're not ready for life in this land.
No.
Well, and then our heroes, the Cartwrights and Blackie, he's not one of the heroes, but the Cartwrights and Blackie ride out too. Now they're bringing him to the jail where he's going to have just months and months of pies and cakes and women that Blackie is.
Before
he gets hanged, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's the hanging posse. That's how it ends there. Wow.
Rebecca, what do you think? Who do we blame? What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just the off wife. The bat, I mean.
You got to blame Hattie Johnson.
Yeah, right? Hattie Johnson definitely would go up on the board, I guess, for not having sharper for being too kind and not having sharper instincts.
Asking for it. Is that what you're saying?
She was
dressed very provocatively
like
in those. She only had three dresses on, I believe.
Right.
Well, is there a podcast that just does victim blaming?
It's going to be my follow up. I'm starting another one. It's okay. Just victim. It's for people who love that. So yeah. I would put them. I would put, you know, just a general lawlessness in the West. I would also riffraffery. What were those three guys up to? That's no good. Lack of water. That seemed to be a huge issue. Unpreparedness. You know, maybe this all wouldn't have happened if they hadn't stopped at the woman's house. If they had brought, you know, packed a few PB&Js, a few extra ones.
Right.
You know, Western greed, you know?
Yeah.
Why are they there in the first place?
Like Western greed. Culture or like country Western greed?
I was thinking more like gold rush, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Listen, I'll take Western greed over Eastern greed anytime.
Western greed for 500, Alex.
Here, here.
Can I find one more?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Plenty of blame to go around.
God's will.
God's will is good. That is a really good one, Amy.
Man.
I would also put look away culture. Like those guys are like, you're a bad guy. Don't go in that house and rape that woman. And then he's like, I'm going to go by the pond. Just don't do it. You know,
that's a look away culture. Don't.
That's such a cute name for such a sinister thing. Yeah. I'm a look away man. Just a little look away fella.
I won't take any responsibility for leaving Blackie here with a woman. That always goes well.
If I turn my head, can I?
We used to say about guys like Blackie, oh, he's nice enough. But I wouldn't be in a room with him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Those days are gone, right?
Yeah.
I hope.
They'll get in trouble for sure. I mean, ultimately, I do think it's Blackie's fault. And I would give the second runner up to God's will, like Amy suggested.
Wow. Yeah.
It's bound to happen.
Right. I'd say no matter who else you come to blame in any of these situations, there is also God's will to blame as a superseding blame target.
So
right?
When people say God is my co-pilot, it means like I'm going to do some bad things, but the sub tweet there is, I don't know what Twitter is that God's to blame.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's right.
That's good to know.
Well, more. Yeah.
No.
Well,
no.
Christian porn is usually about the treatment of vaginismus, which is painful intercourse because women have scrupulosity and fear of being sinful. And they usually just put larger and larger and larger objects into the vagina, usually, you know, different pole shapes. And then the man finally enters her at about 2 hours in. So
they start with something real small and they build their way up to the size of a pecker.
I know what you're talking about. I was watching some Christian porn last night called The Burning Bush, and they did some of that.
Uh-huh. It's so wonderful because you realize, but the what I'm trying to say in regards to this episode is that we're being exposed to more and more of subject matter because we can handle it. Our anal and our canals are becoming more and more open.
I see, because we're 12 episodes in. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
That they can hit us with some heavy themes.
They can, I don't want to die!
Yeah.
So, by the time we get to episode, say, 422, we're in for a real Manchester by the Sea or something like that.
Oh, I'd say.
Wow.
We're going to be splayed open like a call girl in her 70s.
Aunt Dahlia.
Yeah, that's a young person's game, call girl, in my opinion. But
I don't know. I'm looking to still give it a shot.
All right. Why not? What was I going to say just a moment ago on the subject of Christian porn? Oh, I forget. So you couldn't really say that one of the Cartwrights had a love interest in this episode. So the love interest body count stands at six.
Yeah.
If you count Ben's three wives, and then Hoss lost a love, and Joe has lost two. So
we included a widower. Isn't that one woman? He said specifically as a line, if you knew my wife.
Well, if you want to count people that non-Cartwrights, women that non-Cartwrights are in love with dying.
Yes!
All right. We'll count that too. I'll put that on the list. I suppose so.
A woman is a mother.
Woman is a mother. Okay.
So a mother is a woman too.
I'm adding her to the list. Hattie Johnson. But now I wonder if there's others that need to be added to the list if we're widening it out. But that brings the love interest body count to seven. Any other women? I'll go back and look. I enjoy going back and looking and see how many women died. I'll take care of that.
Every single woman has died so far. An octopus's body eaten by your babies.
Yeah. Oh. A woman cannot survive being on Bonanza. Well, there you go. There's only 419 episodes left of this show, sorry to say.
Fucking crunch.
I know. We're winding down in the real home stretch. Yeah. But, Rebecca, do you have anything you want to plug to the... I forgot to ask last week if Dirk Blocker wanted to plug anything. So, Rebecca, if you could plug anything you have and anything Dirk Blocker has coming up, too, that would be good, because I did forget. Hey.
Well, you should check out Dirk's Instagram page for sure.
Okay.
He's got some fun... gifts. You can also check out the Alarmist podcast.
Where do you find that?
Oh, anywhere you get your podcasts. You were talking Apple, we're talking Spotify.
I get them down at Clem Howard's dry goods shop.
I get them at McSween's on my posse runs.
Uh-huh. I think we're out there too. They've McSween's for sure.
Okay, good.
She loves us.
All right. Amy, you plugged some of your products already. Got anything else you want to tell us about before we say goodbye and ride out?
I have a new legal service that involves no documents. So it's for people who just want to get it done. And you do it. You take justice into your own hands. And then I call you and say, how'd it go?
That sounds great. That's for folks who don't want to get involved in all that paperwork. I like it. Yeah. Save a tree.
It takes 3 months to see the district attorney. Are you kidding me? I'm just going to go over and get him a noogie myself.
Yeah. Noogie justice. All right. So people should look for that now. You can find that over at Lot's Daughters. All right, folks, next week, we'll be talking about Vengeance, which Amy has already seen. You already seen episode 3. You've watched that accidentally last time. You want to tell us anything, any teasers about it?
Yeah, what do we got to look forward to?
What do we got?
Well, I'll just tell you that I'm going to get back at you for this one.
Oh, boy.
Get it?
Vengeance.
Revenge.
I can't wait. Now I can't wait. You've whetted my appetite. All right. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Oh, well, it will just, and on sale for that particular episode will be the Family Derringers with family engraved and then togetherness engraved on the other barrel. And then, you know, that's going to be a real deal.
Oh, boy.
For families. Because most people are killed by family, gunfire.
Members of their own family?
By people you know. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
right. That's true.
Oh, yes!
That is, I will confirm that.
That's the way it ought to be. If you got to get killed by a gun, it should be from your own family.
Yeah, that's
beautiful. You want to look in their eyes and go, Mama?
Yeah.
They say the scariest place to be is in your own home. So
yeah.
If you're a woman. True. Only if you're a woman.
during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm building a new house. You folks know that my the Wilcox Ranch blew up. I had to hit the self-destruct button during the poetry exposition. And now I'm building a new one. This one's underground, and I'm using that honeycomb method that was discussed. I'm building myself a honeycomb underground house.
Oh, I got a bone out of this. I kind of count I'm not in my own land. So if you ever got a separate honeycomb hive, I'd love to take you up on that.
As far as I know, there's infinite land underground, so I can just keep I'll build your room. All right, folks, thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time. So long.
Bananas for Bonanzas, brought to you by Andy Daly with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Special thanks to our gang on the ground, Josh Richmond and Shannon Locke. Bananas for Bonanza is produced by Ryan Connor and Matt Gorley, and executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bennett. We'll see you next time.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.